Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning. I guess
good morning.
It is. How
good
are you?
Good morning.
So this is Keith Ubert. We are broadcasting live from the Florida GovCon event down here in Tampa. This is day two, the last day. I'll be sad to see everybody go. No more free lunch. So, yeah, no. No more avocados sneaking
no more
in
avocado
on my sandwich.
Sandwiches, yeah.
So, okay, so I am on our table today. We've got three very interesting characters that have been hounding me for 2 days to finally get a spot here on the show. And today's their day.
Great. Yay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm going to let y'all go on down the line and let's introduce yourselves and all that good stuff.
Okay, my name is Carolyn Dragseth. I'm the CEO of DC Contracting Group. And my company was started kind of out of a fortuitous event. I was a JAG officer doing legal assistance at the Tampa Haley Hospital, the VA hospital. And as I was doing that, I had the opportunity to work with and counsel and speak with a lot of our service members that were severely injured. They had spinal cord injuries, traumatic brain injuries.
Yeah.
So they were being forced to kind of transition out of the military, and they were trying to find out, who am I next? What am I doing
yeah.
next? And they discovered that a lot of people would tell them, go into government contracting. It's really easy.
Sure.
And if you talk to anyone about government contracting,
it's so easy, they have summits for it.
That's right. It's very complex. So they'd come back to my office and they would say, I have no idea how I'm supposed to do this. So I started learning about going to all the conferences, reading all the relevant laws, the FAR, everything else to be a better assistant for them. And so that's kind of how I started in my field. So I'm kind of rooting for the underdog here,
yeah.
rooting for veteran small businesses and providing them with the best strategic assistance that I can provide for them.
Very cool. So, okay, well, we'll go on down. We'll keep, and then we'll get back into some discussion.
Okay.
Okay, my name is Christy Nevels. I'm a federal business coach, and I have a great community called the Business Academy for Veterans. It's the premier resource for veterans and small businesses to build their business. I've been in business over 13 years. It was a maintenance, repair, and operations company, and we sold a lot of products and services to the government and to several commercial clients. So we've won several government contracts, and we know exactly how to do that, how to navigate the confusing maze of government contracting.
Well, I heard it was easy.
Oh, it's very
yeah.
easy. It's not.
Right.
A lot of red tape.
Right.
So I've done it myself, been through it, built the business over the course of 13 years, and we sold the company a year and a half ago. So now it's my mission to help veterans and small businesses learn how to build their business and how to win federal contracts.
Go for it.
Hey, Keith. Hey, first of all, thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Actually, you got to thank Carolyn. She called you.
Carolyn, yeah. Well, thank you, Carolyn.
Well, you have a wealth of knowledge, both of you, so I think we're making a pretty good panel here.
Yeah,
really
we've got some synergies going here.
All I can hear is A-Team music in the back of my head.
Yeah. I'm Daryl Deloach. I'm the founder of FHM LLC, an acquisition consultant firm. My background is I served 26 years in the Air Force, 18 of those as a contracting officer. So I was the one who had the unlimited authority to obligate the government and would be the one that the contractor would be interfacing with on the contract. And also, after that, I went into industry, worked with major corporations, Honeywell, where I had a $1.3 billion portfolio working the MA-1A tank plus another half a billion portfolio and various other programs, even on the airline commercial side, uniquely at a time when we had went through the downturn and people were CEOs and companies were parking at Gulfstream. So I got in at a bad time there. And then I went to work with another major company, working multi-billion dollar contracts. Before I started my company, I was negotiating a $2 billion contract with the government of South Korea to upgrade their KF-16. So I bring to the table that mindset of two entities from the government and the corporate, which is kind of unique because you'll have someone who's either got all corporate experience or government experience, but never the two. So it helps, as you're saying, to navigate through this government contracting
right.
Landfill sometime.
Is $1 billion like a minimum with you? Because that's like, well, I heard a lot of those billions.
Well, I'm trying to let them know. I work with even under, you know, a million. But to say to the bigger the program is, the breadth of experience of opportunities that you'll come across where it'll be different. So I'm there even for the small business because I'm a small business. I'm a veteran. What I'm saying is I bring ability to work some matters and problems that you may not have with someone else who's also in my field.
Well, I think as I listen to each one of us introduce ourselves, we kind of have the three steps of the process that I think are really important in government contracting.
Right.
I think the setup portion is crucial because you can have highly skilled people who are not prepared to go into government contracting. You can have...
That would be me. I'm highly skilled and so not prepared.
You can have people that Christy could assist where they've already got a government contract, but maybe they need a little bit more help to figure out where they're going.
Right.
And then I really do think that Daryl brings to the table the kind of the once you're getting to those big projects and maybe you need that kind of assistance to make sure. Daryl, I know I don't want to come and do your show, but I want to ask
go
a
for
question
it. Take
that
it over.
I know...
The more you talk, the less I do.
I deal a lot with the people who are at the very beginning part of the process, and maybe Christy, you can jump in too. They ask all the time about tips for how to write a good proposal, and since we've got someone with a ton of experience, I think that would be something of great interest to the audience. How do they make it right?
Well, I'm glad you brought that point up, but since you all said about the billions, here is the key for even a small business is to say, don't look at because I have this wealth of experience. There's a very essential key to all of this. Most small businesses want to go after government contracts because they think the government is waiving all of this money and everything, and I want to get into that business. But the first thing you have to understand is, what is your product? What is your niche? What is your swim lane? And if you have a good product, you have a good niche, then the second thing is, do you have a strategy? Because the first thing is, when the government sends out, whether it's an RFQ or RFP, they have a requirement they're trying to relate to industry of what they want industry to bring in. Even as a small business, you may have a great product, but if you can't translate that back to the government in your response, or if you don't have a great strategy, you're just going to be building something, throwing it against the wall, and hoping it sticks. So what I
remember you said that while you were speaking, and that was a really great point. I think a lot of people lack focus.
Right.
They don't know what they want.
Well, they don't know how to translate it in the language that the government wants to hear in a response, because the government has put out a requirement, and they're just asking you to respond. And if you have not only the capability, but do you have a secret sauce in there that'll put you above your competitors, then we can put that in the response, and that helps you to be more favorable with the government of winning that proposal. So don't look at it as the size of your company. Look at it as the key. Do you have a strategy? And if you have a strategy, let's follow that. If you don't, that's why I come in to help you develop a strategy. So it doesn't matter the size of the company. It matters how are you going to approach this process.
Christy, do you have something you want to add to the secret sauce thing? Because I know you work with a lot of people. You said, what can you add? Because I know the secret sauce is probably everybody's, they're looking for how to word that, and that's what they're trying to figure out.
Well, the most important part is the statement of work, and to make sure that your proposal or your quote absolutely meets every single point of that statement of work.
Correct.
And if you find that you can't do part of it or half of it, don't even bother.
Right.
Or find a good partner who you can partner with.
Yeah, because I think you and I were talking earlier in the back, and you were telling me, you know, how you go through there. And one of the key things, it's almost like making a checklist. You just do I have a compliance matrix? Do I go through that statement of work, and do I find everything the government is saying that needs to be done? And then I respond to these. And if I can respond to 90% of them, then, you know, I have a chance here, because the others can be negotiated. But the key is developing that compliance matrix by taking that statement of work and walking through it. And a lot of companies, don't have the breadth of experience of individuals like ourselves to help them to do that.
Well, I want to jump in and I want to kind of push for what I spoke about, which was the all small mentor protege that has come out recently. I think that that's a great vehicle for SDVOSBs, WOSBs, and for the hub zone businesses. So that was service disabled, veteran owned small businesses, and women owned small businesses. The all small program through the SBA now allows for them to partner with businesses of any size. So I think that what you guys were just talking about, the secret sauce and the other strategies of making sure that they meet all of those compliance points and everything else, that they're able to do everything. If they can't do it on their own, maybe exploring something like the all small mentor protege program might be a good fit for them. And I do like, one of the things that I think personally are kind of important with how that program was developed is the idea that it's intended to transfer some kind of information or impart information from that company, the large protege in, the large mentor into that protege company. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where a lot of the small businesses that I work with really struggle. They may have a lot of technical know-how or experience or background, but maybe they don't know exactly how to word it or how to do everything that the government is looking for when they put out those RFPs. So I think that that's important as well, to explore not only doing it yourself, but also if you need to, or if you find that you need to, you can also do the all small mentor protege program. One of the things I wanted to talk with you guys about, too, that I think is really important when we talk about government contracting is teaming. What are some of the things that you guys think are important about teaming? And maybe what are some good tips that you can give to, because, you know, like I said, I work with the people that are starting out. What are some really great tips for people when they're first getting into teaming arrangements, teaming agreements? What should they look for and what should they avoid?
Well, I could go first. Or you?
Go ahead. Go for it.
First thing is, I want to go back to your comment about the veterans. I'm a veteran myself, so I want to be able to help other veterans who want to get into this market, who's serious about it, and share the wealth of experience I have with them. When it comes to teaming, the really first thing is, where are you at in your business to branch out into teaming? And first of all, have you built a business relationship with this company that you may be proposing to team with? You could be picking a wrong partner, because if you're picking a partner just because their name and you haven't built a relationship, do you even have an opportunity to know what their business practices are? What is their integrity in the business? Do they have a potential to win? If they don't have a potential to win after this project you're going after, you're just going to be throwing money down the tube. So some of those things you have to do is some homework about this person that you're going to team with.
How would you suggest they do their homework? Because that's a big question as well.
Build this business relationship.
Okay.
Build a business relationship. Talk to the people. Get to know them. One of the other presenters earlier had talked about how he does a lot of his business just through building relationships. So first, build that relationship or find out from others, what do you know about this company? Have you done business with them? It's almost the same as when we look for someone to work on our house or contract, or before we go to a car dealer. We do some background. Who are these people? What is the integrity of them? The second is, does their strategy line up with your strategy, your business principles? And, most clearly, if you're going to get in bed with them, no pun intended.
Hey, it's not that kind of radio, man.
described it. I know what you're saying.
You're going to be
like a marriage.
You're going to be with these people.
Absolutely.
If you're really on a major contract, you have a base period and four options, you're going to be with them for the next 5 years.
Right.
You don't want to get halfway through this contract and the relationships become adversarial. You don't want to get in this contract with them and they're not performing on their end. And so they wind up, if they're the prime, they get terminated, you're out of business. And now that affects your past performance or you're being a sub. So it depends on, like I said, first of all, building that business relationship, doing your homework on them. Does their strategies line up with yours? And is there a possibility of us really winning this?
What about teaming agreements, Christy? What are some of the things that you think they should look for? Or what are some of the things you think they should avoid?
Well, that it's so important, and you've brought up some really great points. It's great to team with somebody who already has some past performance with the government.
Right. Very true. Very true.
So companies who have been through this, who understand all the rules and regulations and the specifications,
right.
and even those who have the relationships are key. And also, you want to make sure they don't have any of the black marks. Make sure they pay their taxes on time because they can't work with the government otherwise. And
shoot them out.
They haven't been to jail. Make sure that they are, you know, that they can actually work with the federal government. And yes, like you said, Daryl, you're married to them for many years, so you have to be sure that you're compatible,
right.
and make sure that, you know, you have to set up your teaming agreement very, very direct, who's doing what, with no questions asked. That way you know this person's on point A, this person's on point B, or this company, and that they fulfill their part of that requirement.
That is
absolutely.
What about some of the structure that needs to be put in place when you're entering into the government contracting space? And I say this because, for example, some of the startup companies that I work with, they have a great commercial line of business, mm-hmm. right? And they say, well, I already do things. I already work in this field, so I don't need to worry about putting anything into place. What are some of the things that you think that are really imperative to making sure that they're complying with the FAR, that they're complying with all the other government rules and regulations that they have in place? I know, and the reason that I thought about it was we just listened to them speak about some of the things in the field of IT and being in
right.
compliance, but that's kind of more specialized. But what are some of the things that would apply across the board for any company that's getting into government contracting?
Well, I think one of them is going to be, and they talked about it a little bit yesterday, is really the accounting system. Do you have a good accounting system?
I agree with that.
If you're into the product, if you're into products, do you have a good material management system? Even if you're a mom and pop shop, you know, how do you manage your inventory? How would you manage if government property was given to you? Do you have the capability for that? So you've got to do some homework and understand what are the government systems. One of the gentlemen mentioned yesterday, government has come out with a new requirement, and they call it the business rule. And what they have done is they've now put their accounting systems, the purchasing systems, the material management systems, all of these under one umbrella.
Right.
So you need to maybe invest in talking to people who are a lot of the participants here, who can give you some insight, understanding that you don't have the budget to hire individuals in that skill set, but how they can help you start developing that as you grow and make sure you're in compliance.
Right. Well, I know I've spoken with a lot of the startup companies that are getting into government contracting, and one of the things that I always advise them is to get QuickBooks when you're starting.
That's one of
because them. Because I said, at least that way your accounting system is in something that is easily transferable into a larger system
right.
if you grow, and also it is DCAA compliant.
Yeah.
What about some of the other things that you touched on? Because I think that the government furnished property and mm-hmm. some kind of policy regarding that is something that I think a lot of people skip over. I know that coming from a military JAG background, we
right.
were all about making sure that we secured the property and that we knew who had what. So what are some like places or resources or tips that you can give to people when they're looking for those things that are important, but maybe that they won't think about right out the door?
Well, for property management, I mean, if I still remember, FAR Part 45 is a starting point for people to do research. Most importantly, is your facility secured? Are you able to ensure that if you have to segregate government property from your own inventory, do you have the ability to do that?
Right.
Or if you're going to have to do it off-site, do you have a location that the government is going to approve? Because at the end of the day, when this program or this contract is over, the government wants their property back, unless they say, well, no, you can scrap it or whatever. But 9 times out of 10, if it's going to be something they're going to be doing follow on, they're going to want their property back, or they want to make sure you're managing it if they get ready to transfer it to another contract. So you got to make sure that you're able to be a gatekeeper
right.
for this. And if you find that you're working on a contract, it may be to your benefit. You may not have the resources to go out and buy the tooling
Correct,
for this product.
Yeah.
Then you can say to the government, can you provide this to me? And if they've got it, or they've got it somewhere within the DOD inventory that they can get it from other agencies, that may be a way to save you money.
Yeah, that's great. That's
So, and some people don't think about that.
And all of these pieces that you guys are talking about, they're all here. Like, if you can't do them, they're here at Florida GovCon. These players are in this room.
You've got someone in here that can touch on the very breadth of the government contracting.
Yeah.
So that's one of the important reasons of being here, because you get to connect with someone who is an expert in this area. We can't be experts in every area, but if we stay in our swim lane, we just get with the person who's an expert in their area.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
So what have you liked so far?
I think for me, it has just been the ability to network, meet individuals out there and what they're doing, like with Carolyn. And you know, she's doing this program, giving, you know, her time and effort and to the veterans, not really even charging them. And so that may be a way of giving back to our veterans and saying help them. Because if you help them grow in their business, it'll come back. There's a reciprocity in giving.
Sure,
There's a reciprocity in giving.
But I think going to your question of what's the importance of being here, I really think that lots of times, as a small business owner, you may not have the opportunity to go out and hire these kinds of experts,
right.
But you can come to an event like the Florida GovCon and you can find the experts in that particular field.
Right.
You can ask them questions. Most of the experts that are here are very high quality, you know, very
Thank
highly
you.
Qualified
Thank you very
people.
Much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
There you go. But I do think that they have
even the business radio high quality.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
Right. Business radio high quality. I don't know, Christy, what else do you think is benefit?
I loved the veteran track. They had all kinds of information available for veterans, not only to build their business, which is what I love, but also how to find them jobs, how to transition, and there's a lot of help here for transitioning veterans, which is awesome.
Yeah. So we're getting to close to the end of time, but I would like everybody to take a look into that camera and at one time give them all your contact information in case they want to get any more from you.
Okay, Carolyn Dragseth. My email is Carolyn, Carolyn, at DC-contractinggroup, all one word, with two Gs, .org. And I'll give you my direct number. It's 813-368-6370.
And again, I'm Christy Nevels, and my email is Christy at ChristyNevels.com, and that's K-R-I-S-T-Y at K-R-I-S-T-Y-N-E-V-I-L-S.com. My phone number is 954-993-5665, and my Business Academy for Veterans website is www.businessacademyforveterans.com.
And I'm Daryl Andre Deloach. You can reach me by fhmllc1@gmail.com. That's fhmllc1@gmail.com. You can also hit me up on Facebook at fhmllc. And you can hit me up on LinkedIn at Daryl Andre Deloach. And that's D-A-R-R-E-L-L. Andre Deloach is spelled D-E-L-O-A-T-C-H. You can come out there and get a copy of our capability statement and look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you all very much for hanging out with us today.
I'd like to
thank you for being my co-host this morning.
Yeah.
And
an
I would
awesome
like all
job.
Of you to know you just bought yourselves a brand new radio show. So,
awesome.
Guys, you can find us at Pecola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at Pecola BRX on Facebook. Or you can find us on our website at Pensacola.BusinessRadioX.com. And this has been Pensacola Business Radio, live from the Florida GovCon, where business is good and your work matters.